If you have no negative reviews, that means you only have positive guest experiences. So it's another way of looking at it. But the way to focus on it culturally is constant improvement and cultural improvement.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to Wise Tales, where we get to soak in the uplifting stories and personal journeys of professionals who are really making waves in today's dynamic workforce. In each episode, we connect with genuine trailblazers in the field, learning all about what it takes to grow brands, foster resilient work cultures, and strengthen your business through innovative training and operations solutions. Let's dive into the latest episode. I'm your host, Evan Melick. Well, hello. Today we are joined by human capital expert and entrepreneur, Sam Warbeck, who's best known for helping growing organizations scale their culture and results. A former chief talent officer with a 20-year career helping founders scale their organizations, Sam understands the balance of not only delivering results, but doing it while preserving the secret sauce that makes a company special. He's fueled by the belief that people have unlimited potential when working in a culture that matches their beliefs. As the architect of both Chipotle's and Red Ventures' global people development platforms, he's built the ecosystems that hire, develop, and promote tens of thousands of leaders each year from within. Now as the co-founder of Training Simplified, he's helping other organizations do the same thing. Sam, welcome to Wise Tales.
Thank you for having me. What an intro. That was great. Thank you.
So, having said all of those glowing things about your past and your history and your experiences, did we miss anything?
I mean, those were all the work things. I'm also a father of two that I like to throw in there. I care very much about that. But work-wise, I think we got it all.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure you use your own leadership skills in parenting. We know that's always a skill set.
A lot of patience, yes. And a lot of situational leadership definitely shows up with young children. So it's been fun to apply it.
So we know Training Simplified is a partner of Wise Tales, and we've done a lot of work with you. And a lot of our clients have found great entertainment from some of the courses and instructional design materials your company provides. And so one of the things that we know is really important in training and development for sure is engagement. And so you have a really important concept of Training Simplified, edutainment. I don't know, is that trademarked, copyrighted yet?
It's not. Maybe it should. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. Edutainment. It's the combination of things being both educational and entertaining. So edutainment, the combination word. And it's this belief that training content or educational material doesn't have to be boring. And in fact, it's much better when it is. It actually engages your audience more. They remember elements of it more when it is entertaining. It's also the inverse, which is saying that entertaining content can also be educational. And I think we found this over the years at Training Simplified, that when you combine those things, when you try to teach somebody and you entertain them along the way, it's a more enjoyable experience. People just like the process as opposed to being forced to watch something or forced to learn something. It's kind of the opposite of that if you think about what it looks like in action.
So that's really interesting because I have read a lot of research that talks about engaging more senses, right? We tend to remember things when we have more senses. So it sounds like this entertainment plus education is not just rote watching and listening, but it's some sort of experiential thing.
It is. Well, I mean, what we really try to do is we think about our audience, and our audience is a lot of frontline workforce, a lot of the younger frontline workforce as well. And so what we try to focus on is really breaking through that audience. And if you think about the content they're consuming on a day-to-day basis when it's not at work, hopefully not at work, they're scrolling through their phones, they're on different forms of social media, and that's the type of content that they're used to. That's the video content. Those are the influencers. The way those folks speak is how they're used to hearing information come across. What pops up on the screen, the emojis, the memes, all of the things that happen on screen are what they're used to seeing. And yet, when you look at what traditional corporate training looks like, or e-learning even looks like, looks nothing like what you would find on TikTok or Instagram or even YouTube most of the time, for that matter. And so to us, that's what we focus on as well. If that's the audience we're trying to talk to, and we're trying to communicate with them, in this case, digitally, we've got to take into account what they're used to seeing on a day-to-day basis. And it's largely social media content. It's largely very entertaining. It's not a lot of boring content on there, because that's what drives the clicks and the algorithms for social media. And so we take the same approach. We say, well, what is it that would make it exciting, make it engaging, make it something people would watch and click on, like social media? We don't go to the extremes like these crazy challenges, but we want to break through the noise, because this young audience is consuming a lot of content. And so if we're going to train them, we want them to remember what we're training. And so if we just list out bullet points on checklists, the odds of them remembering that, very low. If it's just me on a screen talking at them, the odds of remembering that are very low. And so when we incorporate entertainment, we're looking at things like characters. We'll use a character that we use a lot is Captain Obvious. He's like a superhero, ridiculous character that should never exist in real life. But sometimes you have to say like the obvious things, like you should wear deodorant when you work in a heavy environment. If you're going to sweat, you should probably wear deodorant so you don't smell bad. You should brush your teeth before you come into work. When you've got to say stuff like that, it's really awkward for a manager to say that in person. It's even worse almost if it's a bullet point on a PowerPoint slide. But when Captain Obvious, the superhero, comes in and says it to you while he's doing crazy things, you remember the ridiculous Captain Obvious and the things that you should do. The point isn't to memorize the list of things. It's like, oh, I remember that. It breaks through the monotony and the noise. And so we use monikers like characters or silly sayings just to try to get people to remember, to catch on, so that it sticks in their mind, so that we increase the odds that when they're back on the line or they're back doing their job, they remember the thing that we were trying to teach them in the first place.
I love that. Make Captain Obvious the bad guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And then, Sam, I mean, you've obviously applied this concept, this edutainment concept, with companies like Chipotle and Piata. Can you walk us through those specific experiences and how that brought you to start a company based on edutainment?
Yeah. If you think about, I think the first time that we really did it, my partner Matt and I, and this was really Matt's brainchild back in the day, was we were making a kids meal training back at Chipotle. And it was a like, well, how do you prepare a kid's meal? We had new packaging coming out. And so it was like the training, if you were going to do the classic training, was like, here's a picture of the tray, put the rice in here, put the beans in here. That's essentially what we needed to teach people. Matt's idea, and I think this was really the origin story for edutainment for us on our journey, was instead of us just telling you or putting it in a picture, what if we got like a real kid to come in and talk about what it's like to serve a kid? So if a kid is walking through the line, what's their experience? And so the training was delivered by a kid. We hired a child actor. We scripted it out. We went through these things, but we actually like asked her opinion of what would make this great for you, what would make this an amazing experience as a kid, and got like a real kid's opinion. It just took the training to a very different level, from the steps of, do we put the rice in this tray, in this tray. We taught all those things, but we also taught, hey, these are little humans coming to your restaurant that have very different needs. Let's hear from one of them about what their experience looks like. And that sticks with people, because it's like, oh, I remember the little girl in the training, because you don't often see little girls hosting training videos. And so something like that sticks through. There's another angle though, where it doesn't have to be funny or ridiculous. We had another one at Chipotle where we were throwing out a lot of lettuce. When we looked at our waste across the organization, we cut the lettuce in-house at Chipotle, and the waste was higher than it should have been. Our yields weren't there. And so we started looking at it, and we audited restaurants. We found that we were throwing away a good portion of the stem, where we could really cut closer and get more yield out of the stem. But for some reason, it was just going faster for restaurants to just stop short and throw that away. And so rather than, hey, stop wasting lettuce, there's a new policy that says you must get X percent of yield. We didn't do that. We flew to Salinas, California, which is where the lettuce fields were. And we interviewed the lettuce workers and filmed the lettuce workers in the fields getting the lettuce from the field. Because when you see them getting the lettuce from the field, there aren't machines that can pull lettuce. It's a very unique vegetable. They're hand-picked by a crew 8 hours a day, hunched over in a field, pulling lettuce, putting it in a bag to go into a machine to get processed. And we interviewed some of them, and we talked to the field managers managing the lettuce. And we're like, what would you say to somebody who's, you just spent 8 hours picking this and you're sweating and it's terrible, to somebody who threw half of it away? And the message was very clear to restaurant leaders that was like, you're not just throwing lettuce away because it's fast, or like value the work that this person did to bring this to life and get it there. And so that case, it was more dramatic. It was more documentary style. It was much more serious, but still entertaining in a very different way. But something like that cuts through versus a policy of just get more lettuce out of it. Piatta, I'll give you one last one. So they're not all Chipotle references. It's been more than Chipotle, but it was the same thing. I talked about Captain Obvious. Captain Obvious originated in Piatta, where we were talking about creating an amazing guest experience. And so at Piatta, they were working on getting their NPS scores higher. They were known for their hospitality. They were trying to build a brand based on customer service and hospitality, and yet they weren't delivering on it. So we worked with them to kind of codify their standards. And rather than sending out a book or a training of here are the, it ended up being like 27 steps. Here's the 27 steps to hospitality. No one would read it. No one would implement it. We instead rolled it out and turned them into characters. So we had Captain Obvious talking about some of the obvious things. We created a character called Miss Manners, who was like a very English, dignified woman talking about politeness and smiling and making eye contact with people. We had a character that was a maitre d', kind of the traditional maitre d' in a fancy New York restaurant, or New York hotel, I'm sorry, with like the whole gear, the hat, the bellman's outfit and all that, talking about serving people and helping them. But the characters were aimed to bring it to life. And then when we talked about going fast, we used visual animations and visual graphics to signify dots going through a line. And so rather than just saying, hey, you've got to go fast, here's how to go fast, we changed it to say, think of your guests like these dots on a line, and the dots should never stop moving. And any time as the dots go across the screen, the dot stops, something went wrong. So if you apply that to your line, in this case, Piatta serves Italian bowls down a line, as they were going down, if the guest ever stops for any reason, something's wrong. When flow works perfectly, people go. So figure out why the line is stopping and fix it, and then keep the guest moving. But if the dot keeps moving, people keep going fast. And so there were these little monikers, from characters to animations to dots, to bring it to life inside the restaurant. To now, one, their results have been fantastic as they've rolled this out. It's been a huge program for them, where their NPS has gone from a 50 up to the 80s. It's now 2 years later and it's sitting at the 80s. So the results that they're getting are fantastic. But what's even cooler is you go into the restaurants and you'll hear people using the phrases from the training in everyday speak. They say they're ready, ready now. We made this acronym for being, for going fast, which is like reel the guest in, keep your ears up, listen actively, things like that. So these acronyms, and people say, are you ready? Ready, ready. And so it's part of the vernacular now. So you've got characters and vernacular all becoming part of the fabric of the company in a way that just listing out 27 steps of customer service just wouldn't have done.
Sounds like you have had multiple approaches from, I think that kid's story is fantastic, right? Just that humanizing from a different angle. The documentary, again, that human component. And then you just shared that Piatta story where it's more, you've got some acronyms coming out of it. You've got some terms of art and internal sorts of things, which in and of itself creates this community feel for employees, right? And so it sounds like some of what you try to do too is not just show the Captain Obvious or the Miss Manners, but create a culture where things become a little more apparent and easy to approach.
That's spot on. And it really is, like, if you look at it on the surface and you've got like a Captain Obvious and a maitre d', it can be a little cheesy. But when you realize the nuance that's underneath it and the depth of what we're trying to do, it's not just characters for the sake of having characters or a kid for the sake of having a kid. The psychology is what we're trying to get at, which is like, if you remember Captain Obvious, what you should associate it with is like, there are some obvious things we should be doing that we shouldn't have to say to you. So you're kind of in on the joke. And what we have found is that by bringing employees in on the joke, it gets rid of this like corporate training, kind of corporate infrastructure to frontline employee divide that exists a lot. That's like top-down communications. We're going to tell you what to do. It's being force-fed to you versus, hey, we know you really don't want to sit there and watch this training. You've got to do it and we've got to do it. And so we're all kind of on the same page here. So we'll bring you in on the joke and we'll let you know that we know that you know. And when you get to that kind of an element, they understand deeper than just what the policy and procedure is. They get the concept behind it. Like, yes, manners. We're talking about manners here. I don't need them to remember the 7 specific manners. They remember that, oh yeah, that lady was like the manners lady. Like, we got to be polite. We got to be kind. They get the point of it as opposed to memorizing the steps. And when you get there, you realize that it's not just a gimmick. It's a way to really let them in on the secret with you and provide some nuance to training to create a community feel that like we're all in this together. We all get it. And yet we can have a little fun while we do it too and have some creative ways to get some points across.
And then what are some, like, when you first go into a company, what are some of the things that you're looking at first? And then beyond that, what are some of the first steps that someone can take? Because obviously it's not just like a slide. It's the training programs can be a lot. There's a number of different courses. There could be built in different softwares. What are kind of some of those first couple steps that you take when you first start working with the company?
Yeah, I mean, when we first look at a company, the first thing we try to do is figure out what are they trying to achieve? Like, what's the goal overall of what we're doing? We work with a lot of hospitality concepts, so restaurant companies, hotel companies, retail companies. So generally, they're trying to increase traffic to the stores. They're trying to create a great experience for people and maintain some margin as they do this. It's a very thin margin industry. And so something there, but we're trying to figure out what the priority is. And every company we work with has different priorities at different times. And so part of what we try to figure out is like, is it just one priority we're focused on right now? Or are we really trying to do it all? And what we've done, and it's where we focus on being training simplified, because you're right, Josh, that like when you take all of this together, there's a lot of training that it takes to do any job, let alone like a restaurant job or a hotel job, but any job, there's a lot there. So if you look at a training library and you're an employee, you're going, that's a lot of stuff. And if the point is to take all of these individual bits of training, in our opinion, you're lost already, because the point is never to take training. It's to deliver whatever the result is. And really, there's only a couple results we're all trying to deliver. It's a great guest experience. It's a great employee experience. It's operational excellence. And so we try to simplify some of these buckets to say there's probably a lot of training that goes into it. But the point of it all is really simple. We're trying to grow sales, have a great experience, increase margins, something like that. So we'll go in, we'll figure out what the goal is, and then we'll try to figure out what are their systems that are in place and what are their standards that are in place. And a lot of our worlds, the systems need to be the same kind of everywhere. You need to recruit great talent, you need to onboard them, and you need to develop future leaders. And then you need to communicate with folks effectively with whatever changes are happening. If you do those 4 things well, you're generally going to be in good shape. And so we audit those 4 systems to say, are you doing those well? And that are they filled with your culture? It's one thing to onboard somebody, but what is your culture? What makes your brand specific? And what are the stories that prove that that's true? And so what we try to do is get a sense of how do you onboard somebody? How do you welcome them to the team? Usually companies have some sort of culture or values, and we call them the words on the wall. Everybody's got some words on the wall of what it should be to work here, but that doesn't mean it's real. And so then what we try to do is figure out like, well, what is actually real? Just because you have it on the wall doesn't mean we live it every day. So talk to me about employees that did that. Like you say, you care very much about growing people from within. That's a value at your company. Show me who grew from within. How many people? How many do you do a year? And let's go tell those stories. So now we're not just saying we grow people from within. We say, here's videos or here's stories from 10 people that grew from within. And that could be you. They all started there. So we try to go all the way down. What are the standards? What are the systems that are in place? Do they embody your culture? And then we give a lot of companies an audit. So we'll say, here's what we see, the macro picture of systems, standards, and where we would go next. And then we work with them to try to prioritize based on what they're working on. What do we focus on? It's really everything. You're going to need all the systems and all the standards, but you got to start somewhere and start checking off the list.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Wisetail, your all-in-one learning and operations partner. Committed to continual innovation and improvement, Wisetail solutions set industry standards and redefine workplace learning through a blended approach, creating limitless engagement opportunities and generating results that matter anytime, anywhere. Learn how to unlock potential anywhere work happens at wisetail.com. So we've talked about, not to be obvious, but Captain Obvious. No one needs to laugh at that joke. It was really bad. We've also talked about Miss Manners. But So I'm really curious. My guess is there are going to be quite a few listeners because our target, oftentimes our target audience who follow our podcast are hospitality, restaurants. They're going to say, oh, hold on. My corporate offices would never let me get away with something like that. You just talked about stories from within, and we've heard that from some of our other podcast guests also. Are there other ways that you could recommend instructional designers, L&D leaders could take something away from this to help them accelerate their training initiatives?
It's a good question. You're right. Not everybody would allow Captain Obvious to show up on screen. Piata has a very unique culture and very specific. Some might, though. Like, there are so, you'd be surprised that what I have found, and this is a total aside, but your CEOs and COOs often have a really good sense of humor. They may seem very serious on the surface because they have to, but a lot of them have a really good sense of humor. And so there's a part of that's like, let's have some fun with it. I think you'd be surprised how many of your executives actually do want to have some fun with it, as long as we deliver the result at the end of the day. So we'll say that as a side, you've got to deliver results, but we can smile and have some fun with it. I would say this though, employee stories is one that, like, just have your employees say it rather than someone from corporate or some trainer. We've done so, whether it's leadership training, whether it's conference videos from folks, but it's just hear it from the voice of an employee who actually did it, rather than somebody preaching that this is the way that it should be. That's another way to do it. I would say a third way to do it is to take whatever your content is. Say it's a PowerPoint, you're working with a PowerPoint deck and bullet point slides. Don't try to, a lot of these things like PowerPoint, or if you're building e-learning and they build in all of these like fun things to throw on a slide, I would not do that. That is not the solve that we're talking about. And often that distracts from the point. So I would focus a lot on, well, what are we actually trying to get across? And think of creative ways to bring it to life. Like the kid's story. If it's a kid's menu item, think of a child. If you're going one step beyond what the norm is, but what's another way to say this, to bring it to life that maybe we haven't thought about? And you'll get a lot of creative answers. And then if you're looking for inspiration, reach out to me. Happy to brainstorm with you.
Heard it here first, folks. Sam Warbeck. I like the expect the unexpected, right? And I think that's what you talked about in that story of the child actor, for sure. And one of the things we do like to do in the podcast, obviously, is give people tips and tricks. And I think your list there is fantastic. What if we have listeners who have pretty heavy learning and development initiatives ongoing? They're not necessarily meeting the results that they are hoping to meet. We know training is a core component. It is but one. There are other areas to look at, as you've talked about earlier. But what is something they can do to really quickly review and do their own self-audit of their programs?
It's a good question. I would first anchor on data. What I've noticed in my career is that so many learning folks focus on the building of the content and not on the data that follows the content. And so in any LMS and Wisetail, you can see completion rates. Completion rates don't tell you much. They tell you a little bit, but they don't tell you much. So what I would start focusing on is the actual operational data to combine with your training data. And so say you're working on something, I'll use one that everybody has probably, which is like an onboarding or an orientation deck. Most people put that in there to some degree. What you would want to look for is, what are the operational metrics that tie in with that? So when I think about onboarding or a new employee, what our goal is to create a great experience for a new employee so that they don't leave. And so the operational metric I look at is 90-day turnover. And so what I would do is start to look at 90-day turnover operationally and look at those that do it well and those that don't do it well. Who are my best performers, my best five locations at a 90-day turnover? And what are they doing well? And do the things in my training match up with what those five locations do really well? And then I would take the bottom five, who are the worst? And the goal isn't to call them out, it's to figure out, well, what are they doing? And what is different than what the top five are doing? And make sure that my training also talks through that. Let's avoid the things that lead to bad results. Let's repeat the things that lead to high results. But you've got to focus on those results. And so I think the trick is, with a lot of learning folks, they're on the content. They're like, hey, you're leading orientation. Really what you're leading is 90-day turnover. And so making that jump is, I think, the hardest thing. It's what's the operational metric? And so knowing that, I guess the advice would be for any program that you're running, figure out what the actual operational metric is for success, not just the training metric of completion or quiz percentage completion or progress throughout it. Those are good. Those will let you know if people took the training. But really, this might not be okay to say on an LMS podcast, but like, who cares if they completed the training, except for your harassment training? Please complete that one. But like the other ones, who actually cares? What we care about is, did they get the information? Are they doing the thing on the job? Are they actually changing behavior? So if you're trying to get from 80% to 90% completion, it actually doesn't matter. It won't matter in the grand scheme of things. But if you increase 90-day or if you decrease 90-day turnover, that is a huge impact on the business. And so then it's just extrapolating those. And so I would figure out the operational metric and make sure that your program is aligned to that and spend more time focusing there than on improving or tweaking a slide or just a piece of content.
How much lettuce is left over is a lot more important than completion percentage.
That's exactly right. That's exactly. I actually couldn't tell you how many people watched that video.
Yeah. You talked about NPS, like bringing in customer satisfaction as a metric into that, which I love. Can you talk through how are you administering that and how are you using that to guide your training?
Yeah. So we'll work within a brand. So at Piata, they use, I don't know if it's Medallia or one of the ones, but at the bottom of a receipt, it's some company that they use there to track survey responses in combination with Google and Yelp. Because Google and Yelp, anyone can use. That's like the free services online. And so even in manager training at Piata, it's not just looking at the receipts, but we're instructing managers to go look at their Google reviews and filter in reverse. So filter by starting with the 1-star ratings and going down saying, what are people saying about your restaurant that's not great? Because it's Google, it's public. Not everybody uses the receipts. Internally, the corporate metric is the one that's at the bottom of receipts. And so we'll work with them on what are their mechanisms to make sure that we're aligned and speaking the same language. But to me, it's both. You can use the receipts, but anybody, any mom and pop store that doesn't have a huge corporate infrastructure can look on Google and say what's working and what's not working in order to get it NPS and pull it from there. But as long as you're looking at that, then it's just a matter of what are people saying and how do you improve it from there.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You talked about looking at some of the negative NPS or some of the negative reviews that people are giving. I imagine you have to have that positive culture set up in order to use something like a negative NPS score. So how do you make sure that that culture is existing before you introduce something like that?
It's a great question because you don't want it to be punitive. You don't want it to feel like we're living in misery or reliving bad things over and over again. And so one, it depends on the cultures that you're in. In an ideal culture, you're rewarded for improvement. And so if that's in the case, like at Piata, you're rewarded based on your NPS scores. At Chipotle and a number of other companies, your guest NPS or your CSAT scores are part of bonuses. So there's a way to culturally focus on the improvement. We want the high score. That's one way. The second, though, is a culture of improvement. There's a lot in the past 5 years, we've all talked about like a growth mindset and wanting to get better in micro improvements. And the way it all ends up in the way that you roll this out and introduce it. But one of the ways that we roll it out was to say, you want to know what your guests are saying. And at a certain point, you can teach all of the positive things to do. But at a certain point, you're going to reach a limit on how high your NPS can go, because all of the good people are already getting a good experience and they're not all coming in to raise it. And so if you are interested in growing and continuing to get better and taking it that extra step, the next thing you do then is focusing on eliminating the bad reviews, because there's two ways to improve customer service scores. One is to deliver outstanding service. But every concept in the world talks about delivering outstanding service. So ideally, you're all doing that already and you've got all the standards, but very few focus on eliminating the negative responses. And if you have no negative reviews, that means you only have positive guest experiences. So it's another way of looking at it. But the way to focus on it culturally is constant improvement and cultural improvement. And so at Piata, for example, they track how many negative reviews they got each week. And each week they post it in the back, they put it up in the back of house for restaurants. other brands have started doing the same thing of saying, it's almost like in the old warehouses, how they had like days since last incident. They're starting, when you get really good, it's like days since last negative review. And you spin it from like, it starts out of like, well, we've got a lot of negative reviews. We're trying to get them down, but then you get to zero and it's like, well, now we can rally around it. And now it's a huge positive because it's maintaining the zeros and not punishing people when we get one, but saying, let's learn. How do we learn from that and get better so that we can get back to zero again? So different way of thinking about it, but all evolutions, right? It matters a lot in the change management, how you roll it out. It matters how you reward people and compensate them. And then what the long-term is of how you celebrate success organizationally to reward people for actually doing the right things.
So I think, number one, this has been a phenomenal and fantastic conversation for sure. I think we have not used the word edutainment in probably 5 minutes or more. And so I just wanted to put it out there because we had to say it one more time. Use it 3 times and it's yours. So I've just appropriated that word. We always close our conversations with a really compelling question for our guests. So, if you were to design your own bumper sticker, Sam, what would it say and why?
You can't say edutainment.
That's right. It's just been appropriated. I can't take it now. That's a good question. My own bumper sticker. I would do one. It has not been put on a bumper of a car to my knowledge, but it's my favorite edutainment-ism that I think would be hilarious on the back of a car. It's part of our food safety training, and it was another way of thinking about it. We actually made stickers for it to put on people's computers. And the concept to teach food safety was to ask employees, would you lick that? Which is a great way, because if you wouldn't lick it, you should probably not serve it to somebody else. But it gets to the point really quickly. That would be hilarious on the back of a bumper sticker, I think. So I'm going to go with, would you lick that, from our food safety training, just because it would be ridiculous.
Sure does get to the point really quick.
I think you just won.
It's a good one.
Sam, I want to thank you for the time you spent with us today. I think there are a lot of key takeaways. And again, our goal is to provide as many tidbits and tips and tricks. And you have been more than gracious with offering your expertise and your thoughts and ideas around how anyone, quite honestly, especially in the hospitality industry, could make a difference tomorrow with things they implement today.
I hope it was helpful. Thank you for having me. It was great talking with you. I really appreciate you having me on.
You'll be back, I'm sure.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you both.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Wise Tales. Help us tell these tales by leaving a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.